This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Indeed. You are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9. I'm Macca. John Wintle is panelling. My co-host is Ave Puglielli, Upper House Member in the Victorian Parliament for the Greens. So, Ave, your first co-hosting, the first hour, how's it been?
Yeah, look, it's been a wide-ranging set of discussions, I think. Just this first hour, we've covered a whole range of topics, and I think, you know, I'm very, very jealous of this opportunity that you have every weekend to hear from such a long list of members of the community, each working in their own respective field, talking about the work they're doing. It's been really insightful.
It does range quite widely sometimes, and we have regular co-hosts, and you know you're here, you'll be back as a co-host. Fiona Patton is a regular co-host. Josh Burns has co-hosted along with who else, John? I'm just trying to, well, Dean Smith, WA Senator, Janet Jukes, many people, and it's always good to have another co-host, and but being a guest and a co-host, not always in that order, it's very different, isn't it?
Yeah, it definitely does feel
you've got control
a little bit more. No, but it's I think because you're just getting across more issues. I mean, usually when I'll come on for a segment, even if it's a double allotment of time, time honestly flies much in this studio, and we were just remarking in between sessions just now, like it feels like the first hour has flown by. The sort of the breadth of the discussions we've had, and yet we've got another hour to go. Macca, who are we going to hear from?
We have. Well, we're going to be speaking with, after the news, Georgie Purcell, member in the Upper House for the Animal Justice Party, and we're going to talk about an issue that we often cover here, and a lot of listeners love us talking about it. Some don't. But that's the joy of joy. We're going to talk about drug law reform, and also some animal welfare issues. And Georgie is a regular guest, always makes the time to talk to us. And a bit unusual because you're actually going to be asking her questions.
Yes.
As the host, and you're also a colleague in the Upper House.
And we've, co-sponsored legislation together.
It's
an interesting dynamic.
It's a bit of a, a bit of a juxtaposition almost. So I want you to, listeners, to stay with us. You are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9, with Macca and Ave. Joy 94.9, Saturday Magazine. And before I introduce our next guest, John, we saw during the week some really encouraging statistics about Joy's listeners, didn't we?
Yes, you're entirely correct. We did get some results from the McNair survey showing a really impressive increase in the number of listeners for Joy.
And in some of the age ranges, the increase was more than 40%.
That knocked me off my chair, actually. Yeah, I was not expecting to see that that younger listeners were flocking to listen to Joy. And it was just really warming to know that, aside from media where you would expect younger people to go to, your short form and your long form media, they're actually engaging with us here at Joy as well.
They are. And, at some times during the week, we have more listeners in Melbourne than Radio National.
Yes. Although one thing that did come up, Macca, was a slight shortfall of listeners on a Sunday.
And we were musing in the meeting when we were discussing this, whether it was because people were cold, whether they were hungover, whether whatever.
No, at church, Macca.
At church.
Is what
They weren't at the altar of Joy.
Not yet, anyway.
Not yet. Anyway, thank you to everyone who listens. It's very encouraging to us. That McNair survey was really, really encouraging. So I want to thank you. Our next guest is Georgie Purcell from the Animal Justice Party, a colleague of Ave's in the Upper House. Welcome, Georgie. How are you?
Good morning, Macra and Ave. I'm well. How are you?
Oh, living the dream, darling. Living the dream.
Staying warm where we can in the studio.
Yeah, yeah. I'm standing in front of the fire right now.
Yeah.
So,
yes, yes.
Georgie.
Recovering from a cold, actually. So.
Oh, no. Oh, dear. Yeah. Okay, well, definitely rest up. But while we've got you, we're gonna start talking about, I mean, you and I know this well, Georgie, both being in the Upper House of Victorian Parliament. Do you want to update us on how you view the status of drug law reform right now? It's been quite a journey, I think, since we were both elected, myself for the Greens, yourself for Animal Justice Party. Where do you see things sitting right now?
Yeah, look, it has been a journey. And I think back to when me, you and Rachel Payne sat down and said, you know, we hold a critical amount of votes on the crossbench and we really want to see progress in this space. Why don't we band together to make it happen? And of course, we started that with co-sponsoring a private members bill. I believe it was the first time in Parliament history that three members of Parliament have ever done that. And of course, introduced that and debated it. And then, as is often the case, the government came to the table and said, you know, actually, we'll do this with our own legislation, which has been, you know, so incredible. And we saw that trial over the summer with pill testing. We've seen the Six site announced opening on Brunswick Street, which is really, really promising. But there's still such a long way to go. Obviously, this week, the Pennington Institute released their report into cannabis and the need for progress in that space. So there has been, you know, solid steps, but the work is still ongoing.
Power to the crossbench, really. At least that's what I'd say.
Yeah.
And I suppose
absolutely.
There is, even in the pill testing or the drug checking conversation, still steps to go that I think we've both spoken about in Parliament, and that's, for example, reform around use of sniffer dogs. Georgie, do you want to speak to this a bit more? What is this? This is still going on. Where are we seeing this? What are the impacts?
Yeah, I love this crossover because, of course, you being Greens and me being Animal Justice Party, we always say let the doggies be doggies.
Absolutely.
We don't, you know, want these we don't want these dogs to have jobs. But it's sort of in direct conflict of this policy change from the government, because if we're going to encourage people who we know the reality is they are using drugs and they're often, you know, young people experimenting for the first time, and we're telling them to go and use this service that could potentially save their life, we don't want them living in fear that on their way to do that, or, you know, heading into a festival or event, that they're going to be checked for drugs by a sniffer dog and then potentially be criminalised and, you know, carry that with them their entire lives. So the use of sniffer dogs really doesn't coincide with a evidence-based health approach to, you know, drug law reform. This is already happening. And when these dogs are out at events, we do see young people, you know, making questionable decisions that are, you know, could harm them long term, such as taking all of their drugs or, you know, getting caught with them and then, you know, facing being dubbed as a criminal when, you know, it's just really, really unfair. And of course, we asked that question first time it's been done in the Parliament, where Ave and I asked each other questions in question time in relation to this, to try and encourage the government to drop their use of sniffer dogs at events where, you know, we know this service is being encouraged.
Absolutely. I think we put the government on notice that question time, because you know what, if we can, you know, work together in that way, as we've seen with the pill testing trial and now the fixed site in on Brunswick Street, it's, you know, it's power to the crossbench, really. If the government aren't going to step up to the plate, at least initially, on drug law reform, we can push them there. Macca, did you want to jump in?
Yeah, no, I wanted to say, you know, what's important, this discussion is really important, Georgie and Ave, and often issues that the crossbench are raising, you know, and also in previous parliaments, you know, Fiona Patten, that there are issues that the government is not diametrically opposed to, but they're a bit reluctant to actually start the running on it. So they, you know, there's, you know, they wouldn't say this publicly, but they like the fact that the crossbench raises issues and sometimes asks the questions that they want asked, or that the issues that they want to advance. So, you know, when you talk about these issues, when you talk about law reform, you know, if we'd said a few years ago, are we going to have any sort of pill testing, the answer would have been no. Because the government the position of the previous premier was diametrically opposed to it, which I always found a bit bizarre. But anyway, now we have a situation where the government, you know, is on side, perhaps not as much as you guys would like, but this is the value and the real value of having a crossbench, in my opinion.
Absolutely. I would agree with that. And the other thing that I would say that I'm pretty sure Abe would agree with as well is you wouldn't believe the amount of times that we raise things in Parliament where government MPs will quietly then say to us, thank you for your advocacy in this space. Thank you for your work in this space.
Yeah.
Because they're part of a, you know, a larger party where they don't have the ability or freedom to speak out like Abe and I do. And by us adding our voice to that, it encourages them to speak up in caucus. It encourages them to speak up in their party room to advocate to the minister by showing that we're already, you know, leading the way on this. And we are on the crossbench. You know, we might not be the government, but the government does need us in order to progress their legislative agenda, and what we're saying and doing really does matter if they want to advance their work as well.
I got a suggestion. We're going to go to a break and then we'll come back, but I got a suggestion with sniffer dogs. They should actually use greyhounds, because if they use if they use greyhounds, the only thing they'd detect would be treats.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah, or they'd be sleeping on the job.
Oh, they'd be like, no, I'm not ready to sniff yet. No, you don't have any treats in your pocket. You can keep going.
That's right.
You are on Saturday Magazine Joy 94.9 with Macca and Ave and Georgie Purcell from Animal Justice Party. Stay with us. When we come back, there'll be more. You are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9, Macca with Ave Pulielli and John Wintle. We're speaking with Georgie Purcell, Upper House MP for Animal Justice Party. I want to ask, Georgie, your passion is animal justice. I know, you know, Ave is also pretty passionate about this. Can I ask, why is the government on animal welfare issues, why are they so piss weak?
Yeah, it's a great question. And something that I found really frustrating is particularly in this term of Parliament, they're even weaker than ever before. I obviously worked for Andy Medic, our first Animal Justice Party MP in the last Parliament. And, you know, under the ministers we had and the Premier we had in his term, we were able to progress our policies and our legislative agenda so much more. And I think it's sadly, the scenario of the one person who gets to make the final decision just isn't in support of a lot of the things that we want to achieve and is, you know, very much concerned about upsetting organisations like the shooting lobby. But we have some hangover issues that they've actually already committed to that they're not even advancing. So almost 10 years ago, they committed to replacing our Prevention of Cruelty to Animals Act with a new bill called the Animal Care and Protection Bill. That would increase penalties, give authorities more power to seize animals and to investigate cruelty. We know that bill is written and it's sitting on the Premier's desk and she won't introduce it to the Parliament. So we are increasingly frustrated that we, one, can't advance the issues that are really, really important right now, such as, you know, greyhound welfare, but also that they're not even doing the things that they say they would do. And another thing, you know, that's similar to that is the new Wildlife Act, which the Greens actually passed a documents motion on because they pulled together this committee to do a expert review into our failing wildlife laws. And that was finalised in 2021, cost $3 million of taxpayer money. We know they've got the findings of that. And again, they just won't progress it.
Yes, I think my colleagues and I are very frustrated that we have not seen the release of some of that information because, you know, it's literally sitting on a shelf somewhere. You pay all that money to look into, research into these areas and then to not release the information. I only presume it's because the information's not good for government. You know what I mean? It's like, why else would you not be forthcoming with all that work that was done? Yeah. Georgie, something that my colleagues and I absolutely back you in with in the Upper House is your continued advocacy for holding greyhound racing industry accountable here in Victoria. Do you want, for those that haven't been following your work quite so closely, can you just step us through what is the picture right now of this industry here in our state?
Yeah, here in Victoria, we are absolutely abysmal when it comes to greyhound welfare. We're in fact the worst state for on-track deaths and injuries many years running, and particularly this year, it's worse than ever before. We actually just hit yesterday 100 broken legs on the track. for 2025 and 25 dogs have been killed on the track. What's important to point out when I say 25 dogs have been killed on the track is that's dogs that are killed then and there from a racing injury. What we know is that 83 dogs have actually been killed away from the track from injuries they've sustained while racing. So something we're seeing the industry doing increasingly more and more is when a dog breaks their leg, they won't euthanize them then and there on the track. They'll take them away. It'll happen in the hours, days or week afterwards so that they don't go into official industry statistics. And that's really, really concerning because if a dog has a injury that's not compatible with life and they're being kept alive, that is a huge problem. And, you know, we have volunteers that are going through following each and every single one of these dogs to see if they make it out alive. And sadly, just so many of them don't. I believe that the industry has no place in Victoria or in this country. Of course, we've just seen New Zealand commit to banning greyhound racing and they're in their phase-out period. And, you know, that legislation was not opposed by a single MP in their entire parliament and was actually introduced by a Conservative government. But at the very least here, we're asking for an independent review or inquiry into the industry. And we've seen other states do that. It's not a big ask. New South Wales is doing it at the moment. SA's just done it. And that will, I think, help us truly understand what needs to be done to protect these dogs that, you know, are suffering so much right now.
And I wonder, Georgie, and, you know, listeners know, yes, I have a greyhound, and Georgie and I do have a different view about whether greyhounds should race. I think the industry needs to really clean up its act. It needs to have animal welfare at the heart of it, not just as a statement. The reality is, why won't the Victorian government agree to having an inquiry into an industry? And I speak to trainers almost every day, and they share, you know, the concerns that I have and that you have about deaths on track and how it's happening. So, you know, some of the big trainers, I don't speak to them because they're not in the areas that I go to. But trainers that have, you know, 1, 2, 4, or 5 dogs, they're all saying the same thing to me, you know, when I see them. And I wonder, what is the government afraid of? Why is the government tipping money into an industry that is clearly not looking after animal welfare to the extent that it should? Why is the racing minister reluctant to have an inquiry?
I'm sure Abe would agree with me when I say this, but something that's really concerning is that the government and gambling industries are just in lockstep with each other, and it's really hard to get them, you know, to view this independently. And frankly, I think they're scared of upsetting them. And what happens when that is the case is that we have animals paying the ultimate price with their lives. And I meet with the Minister for Racing quite regularly. He actually gives me a lot of time and, you know, has made a lot of effort to do things for me, like follow up on individual dogs when we're not getting answers from Greyhound Racing Victoria about their outcome or their welfare. But fundamentally, there has always been this hesitation to go against the industry and tell them what they need to do. We have had consistent racing ministers who believe that welfare reform needs to be led by the industry themselves. Now, I think that that's just not possible when it comes to Greyhound Racing Victoria. Just this week, I went on ABC radio and spoke about a really concerning case about a dog that tested positive for cobalt and the fine that that trainer received. Now, instead of addressing the very real concerns that I raised in relation to that, Greyhound Racing Victoria decided to send out a statement about me personally to all of their industry participants. And, you know, my advice to them is if they had any smarts about them, they'd frankly act like I didn't exist and that I wasn't working as hard on this issue as I am. But they tend to prioritise things that are not the things that need the most attention right now. And what's happening as a result of that is we're just seeing this absolute tidal wave turn against them. And the more and more people that adopt greyhounds, like you, Macca, they're learning what these dogs are actually like. They're gentle, they're docile, they're, you know, they're built for sleeping and eating treats, as we've spoken of before. And, you know, I think that they run the risk of, you know, losing their social license if they haven't already, and they just won't be able to come back from that. And that's exactly what we heard in New Zealand. This industry was put on notice. They didn't do the things that they needed to do, and the government had no other choice but to step in and tell them that they had no place in that country anymore.
And I think, you know, Greyhound Racing Victoria will say, you know, they want the industry to continue. Okay, that's their position. Well, perhaps, guys, what you should be doing is engaging with people who really, you know, that have greyhounds as pets, and I've suggested this to them. They don't really. Engage with the smaller trainers. They don't, right? Not just, you know, have meetings with the minister and spend lots of time and money in putting out a narrative that, you know, seriously, guys, if you want to save your industry, think about what you're doing. Getting people offside all the time won't do it. You know, Georgie Purcell's not going away. I'm not going away. I'm not going away. And all the small trainers that I speak to, they mark you about 2 out of 10 GRV. So, you know, and I say to the racing minister, Anthony Carbines, otherwise known as Carbs, talk's cheap, mate. Actually do something for animal welfare, right? Mm-hmm. You might find there's actually some votes in it. That's the key.
I would agree with that, Macca. And the thing that I would say is, you know, if this industry does want to survive, and I do think it's on its last legs at the moment, we've seen just in literally on its last legs. We've seen in the last year that, you know, just in order to function, they needed an emergency support payment, which was taxpayer money, in order to continue to function for the rest of the year. The first step is acknowledging their problems and acknowledging the community concern and, you know, trying their hardest to recover from that and show that they are capable of change. But until you acknowledge that you do need to change, the problem's just not going to go away.
Just to change tack, ask you and Ave, duck shooting.
Yes.
Why does the Premier support duck shooting? Is it because the Premier is in a regional seat? Why? I don't get it. Why is shooting at something and killing it? Why is that a sport?
It's a great question, Georgie. Do you want to jump in?
I'll go briefly, and then I'm sure Ave has something to add in. But, you know, with that outcome where the government announced their own parliamentary inquiry, and it was chaired by Government MP Ryan Batchelor, who I would say went into that position without a formed view, and by the end of it was very, very much convinced that duck shooting had absolutely no place in Victoria. And then, of course, the Premier changed in that time when it was the moment to respond to the inquiry recommendations, which wholly and solely said duck shooting must be banned in Victoria. It was, again, as I spoke about before, a very unfortunate circumstance where the one person who had the ultimate decision-making power didn't want to do it. And I think it is partly because of the regional seat, but I, of course, take in Bendigo in my electorate,
yes,
and I hear from countless people in that community who are so disappointed in the Premier's decision. They want our wildlife protected and not shot. And we've seen this continued fear of upsetting the shooting lobby from the Premier and upsetting these unions that, you know, surprisingly jumped on board at the very last minute. But what I would say is that issue is not dead, and it's certainly not dead within the government. It's going to take us longer than we expected. But again, I hear from Labor MPs every single day who are desperate to resolve this issue, not just because they care about our wildlife, but because, frankly, their seats rely on it. We have so many Labor MPs who are up against contests from the Greens who, you know, are far better on this issue, who agree with me that duck shooting must be banned. And they are so disappointed and so frustrated in the Premier as well.
And as you've said, Georgie, this issue is not going away from the crossbench, that's for sure. Like, we're going to keep calling the government out on this industry, on this issue. Like, really, the way that the government speaks about it is if they've responded to almost all of the recommendations from the inquiry, but the central one, number one, is to get out of the shooting of our native it's honestly abhorrent that they've allowed it to continue. And Macca, to your question, I think it's just pure politics. Yeah. Honestly, it's against the evidence. It's even against probably the sort of the social license out there in the community, even in regional areas. It's just some very powerful lobbying groups in the ear of government. And so, Georgie, backing you in absolutely in this work, you've got that consensus in the crossbench here that we want to make sure that the government gets out of this industry that's wreaking havoc on our native landscape.
Yeah, that's right. And what I would say is, as you said, they ignored the first recommendation of the inquiry. They responded to all the others like that was the solution. What many people don't know is they actually haven't met the deadlines on the things that they would do on the other recommendations. So they put $12 million of taxpayer money into that. They promised things like shooter proficiency testing to reduce wounding. None of that has happened, and we won't let them get away with that. And the entire progressive crossbench is united on this issue, which makes it even more disappointing. Because if the government introduced legislation to ban duck shooting tomorrow, they would have the numbers to pass it. They don't need to worry about anyone else.
Just so you know, Georgie, there's a nice message from a listener here. He said, can we please have a media ban on Macca and greyhounds? We all know your position on it. There are other issues in the world. Thank you to the listener. Luke, I appreciate it. But then again, you're not the only one that wants me to stop talking about it. I think Greyhound Raising Victoria would like to put a muzzle on me. Thank you, George.
And me too, Macca.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, actually, we can have a joint muzzle. There we go. Thanks so much, Georgie, for making the time today. Really appreciate it. You have a great Saturday, and I'll talk to you soon.
Lovely to talk to you both.
Cheers. You are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9. Macca and Ave, when we come back.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.